Thank you for downloading this episode. We hope it is a blessing. And welcome to Brethren in Devotion. Hello everyone and welcome to Brethren in Devotion. Today I am with Mark Castle. How are you, Mark?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Another day in paradise, I need to say.
That's right. That's
beautiful, right. Batesburg, South Carolina.
You're on the front porch, man.
We are in the front porch. It seems like we're colliding podcasts right now.
That's right.
Because you have a podcast called The Front Porch, which you do with Matt Petrie.
Yes.
And I do mine, which is called Brethren in Devotion. But we are exactly in the place when you do yours.
That's right.
So I'm feeling the fire that usually Matt Petrie is feeling right here.
I know, you're sitting in his chair and everything.
Hey, Matt, I didn't want to take your chair, but for today, we're just going to borrow it.
I think your beard even grew out since you've been sitting there.
I think it's growing by the minute.
Yes, wisdom.
I might come out of here with a long Moses beard, which would be awesome, although I cannot stand long hair in my face. But Mark, I got a question for you. What is that button in my car do? It has like three wings things. It looks like it's a Holy Spirit button, but I don't really know what it is.
OJ's been coming to South Carolina almost every month since, how long has it been?
Since October last year.
Since October. So this strange thing happens in South Carolina, OJ, that I don't think really happens in Orlando, and it's called cold weather.
Oh, no, we don't have that over
and
there.
So OJ's in the car, and we're driving, and it's very cold outside, and the windows start fogging up.
Yep.
And we can't see to drive. And so I thought, well, I should be a good brother and maybe recommend that you hit the defrost button. So I said, hey, man, you might want to hit the defrost button. You said, what?
Yeah, I don't know what that thing is. I don't use that
so
at all.
I had to teach OJ what the defrost button was for. And so it magically takes the fog away so that you can actually see to drive in cold weather.
And I got to say, probably that day was the first time I used that button in my life.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, we got some, I will say mild weather. We don't have anything cold like here or in the north. But definitely that day, it really helped.
So for all of my Latin and Hispanic brothers and sisters that have never made it north of Jacksonville, there is a button in your car. It's a defrost button in case you're ever in cold weather.
It has like three wavy arrows, which I always thought was the three spirits of God in my car, but it's actually the defrost button.
Oh, that's great, man.
So, yeah.
It's so great.
Oh, Mark, I'm so honored to have you here with me. I want to take a minute to honor you because surely I wouldn't be here doing this or even in this lifestyle if it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for Matt, for Damon, and all the people that pointed at me into this lifestyle. I mean, really, I'm really touched and honored to just be here with you. You know, you heard a lot of things of what I've testified in my life, but it really got to the point where I was thinking the other day, Lord, how can I honor properly? And he says, just remember. Mm-hmm. Just sit down and think about the things that I've done in your life. And that's exactly what Apostle was telling us yesterday at Carolina Revival, just to remember. And the way that Apostle was talking about is to grip us more firmly than before. And not in a way that we want to escape, but in a way that we want to remain in that position. Mm-hmm. So I just want to take a moment to honor you, Mark, to honor Matt, Damon, and the whole Carolina Revival family. Surely alongside with the Father's House, which is my family at Florida, it's been pillars in my life into this lifestyle, into what the Lord is doing. And I know what it's going to continue doing moving forward. I just got to give you guys a little background about me and Mark. I met Mark in 2013 while he was still a pastor. And it was really cool that he took time from that moment in his life where he was very busy. He was he had a lot of responsibility in his hands and stuff, but he took that day to meet with us and just to have lunch and have some time together. And it really has grown a relationship within us. And in January of 2016, the Lord talked specifically to my life and said that he had brought Mark into my life to become a brother to me. And that is exactly what has happened. We have become brothers, and I have the honor to come to Mark's house and just share with his family and with him and just be together and share life. Because at the end, this is what we do, share life and share Jesus with ourselves and encourage each other. So I've known Mark now for 5 years, and I consider him not only a brother, but also a spiritual father into my life. But I would like for Mark to tell us a little bit about his journey, about his testimony, how he encountered Jesus in such a way that you came to the point and said, you know what, there's something else for me.
Yeah.
It's more than pastoring. It's more than traveling. It's more than evangelizing. Mm-hmm. There's something deeper. Mm-hmm. And I would like us for you to share that part of your life.
Yeah, man. I honestly I grew up in a Pentecostal pastor's home. I was definitely immersed in a culture where I saw the power of God from a very young age. Mm-hmm. 4 and 5 years old, many times had to have my mother pick me up and carry me over people that were slain in the spirit just to go home. People just laid out hours after service, wow, just under the power of God. In my father's church, there was just a dynamic group of people. When he first started a church, it was the Ohio Street Pentecostal Church of God in Spring Hill, West Virginia. These people would show up early and begin to pray, would stay late, which most people would stay all day Sunday and wait for the Sunday evening service. And wow. Just saw a hungry group of people. And from that, you know, I saw people raised out of wheelchairs. I watched my dad take his handkerchief and put it under a man's eyes suffering with cataracts and glaucoma and watch brown goo just run off of the eyes in the handkerchief. And so I'm very thankful that from an early age, I not only heard about the gospel, but I got to see the demonstration of the gospel. Come and on. And found myself around some really high-profile leaders at an early age, mm-hmm. Men that really walked with the Lord, and there was a great touch on their life. But that led me on a path, on a journey, just like any kid that grows up in church. Found my rebellious years in high school.
Of course.
My parents found out, and I found out that although I grew up in the church, growing up in the church, seeing miracles, being around the power mm-hmm. of God didn't mean that I had a personal relationship with Jesus. So I went through all of that. And then, man, the Lord radically touched my life when I was 18 years old. I won't go into all that because that's a whole separate testimony.
Yeah.
But at 18, man, the Lord really touched my life. I began just serving at my father's church and preaching there, serving as youth pastor. I should have never been put in that position. I'm not sure people really came to the ministry because I was a dynamic preacher as much as it was the drama of a young man full of testosterone.
Hey.
Had being single.
Yeah.
Every week I may have had a different girlfriend. I'm not sure, but that again, that's another testimony.
Yes.
Another story. Thankfully in that I met my wife and all of that, but just in an instant, man, the Lord took me from a small little church in West Virginia, put me under a man by the name of Dr. T.L. Lowry, traveled yeah. with him for almost 4 years. And in 2010, the Lord spoke to me that I was to travel the nation, stir revival. And I did that, man. And for several years, and in some of those years, I'd traveled the nation preaching with Dr. Lowry.
Yes.
But so altogether about 9 years of traveling and preaching the gospel, not only here in the United States, but other nations of the world, from Panama, Israel, India, different places, man. And, you know, those were some crazy years.
Mm-hmm.
And within, by the age of 22, I connected with a man who already had an international ministry.
Yes.
And a small little ministry we started in Cleveland went from just a handful of people, and it just exploded in growth.
Yeah.
And people started moving from all over the country to be a part of that ministry. And man, I was traveling at that time about 42 weekends out of the year, spending about 6 weeks of the year out of the country somewhere.
Yep.
And then preaching every Tuesday night in Tennessee. So I was preaching every Tuesday. I was attending our corporate prayer meeting every Thursday, trying to quote unquote pastor that group of people.
Yes.
Plus be a husband, plus be a father to three beautiful children, and maintain that 42 weekend travel schedule.
That's exhausting.
And so, man, by the age of 25, I was doing that at 22.
Yeah.
At the age of 25, man, I found myself with anxiety attacks, panic attacks, fear, couldn't travel alone, couldn't fly on a plane by myself. And then, you know, trying to learn how to cope, calling that stuff spiritual warfare, trying to blanket it and over spiritualize it and try to figure out why I'm having to face all of these things. But by the age of 28, I finally got in the same room with a man named Damon Thompson, my apostle, spiritual father. Found myself in a room with him, sitting there with a room full of leaders, and I began to witness this man's life. I got to look into the eyeballs of his wife. I got to look in his eyeballs. I got to see a man on fire, having a blast in the middle of nowhere in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And he's just, the power of God, the glory of God was just coming off of this man. And in that moment, when I was confronted with his witness, I had to start evaluating my life, my walk. Why is this man, who did way more than I ever dreamed about doing in the kingdom, as far as in, you know, as well, as far as influence and ministry and what Damon has done past 20 years, far exceeds anything that I had ever experienced or tasted. But I knew that lifestyle of ministry and being busy and rubbing elbows with leaders, and you know, really, most of these guys that I got to rub elbows with were heroes of mine,
of course,
over the years. And I've told people this, and some people are going to like this statement, some people won't. But, you know, after really being exposed to that professional ministry world, I wish I wouldn't have met half of them.
Of course.
Not everything that glistens is gold. And, you know, those were rude awakenings. So I could go into all the nuances of that. But the bottom line is, in 2015, man, I came on a head face-to-face collision with the Lord by witnessing another man's lifestyle. And the Lord started putting brothers around me like Bryn Waddell, Matt Petrie. Those two voices before I got joined to what I'm doing today.
Yes.
Matt Petrie's voice and Bryn Waddell's voice were two voices that were really leading me and helping me navigate what I was having to really meditate on internally, process internally. And so anyways, man, I remember starting to process that, going, God, there's got to be more than what I'm experiencing. There's other factors in the fact that I would go to India and see what real ministry looked like and see the gospel preached to villages that had never heard the gospel and watch the power of God and watch how, you know, I say this, and I know I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but I'm making a point here. Going to India and then like coming back home, I'm going, my God, they're closer to the Book of Acts than the American church has ever dreamed of being.
Definitely.
And many times on Facebook, you'll get a lot of requests from, I get a lot of requests from pastors and leaders in Pakistan and India and Africa and other nations of the world. And most of the time, I will deny their friendship on Facebook. And the reason why I do that is because I never want them to look at what we call ministry and what we call Christianity in America and let them think that we have, that we've arrived.
Exactly.
I feel like the worst thing that could happen to places like India and Africa, China, yeah. you know, Pakistan, those nations, is for them to try to glean from us. We need to learn from them.
Exactly.
So there things like that already started germinating that seed of there's got to be more than what America and an American ministry is. And so, man, by 28, bottom line, here's how you sum it up. I realized I was in idolatry.
Wow.
And most people don't look at it like that, but I was. I was yeah. in idolatry. I had done the one thing that I said I would never do, and that was I would never trade my intimacy for ministry.
Yes.
But the way American ministry teaches you and trains you is one door leads to the next door leads to the next door, mm-hmm. one opportunity leads to the next opportunity. And before you know it, you're on a treadmill of performance.
That's it.
You're running the rat race, and you get sucked into this ministry-driven lifestyle. And ministry then becomes the greatest point of idolatry because you got to give the people what they want. You got to preach what the people want to hear. You need to travel here. You need to say this. You need to do this. And, man, I preached in some of the greatest churches in America, met yep. with some of the greatest leaders, what are considered some of the greatest leaders, and they would sit down and say, you know, Mark, with the gift and abilities that you have on your life, I could show you how to do this, and I could show you how to do this. But not one time did a man set me down and say, you know, the way of the kingdom is a narrow way. No, there is a wilderness pathway.
Yeah.
There is a life of devotion where you can be so gripped by the love of God that you come into such face-to-face communion that you can actually get to the place where you can say what Jesus has said, I can do nothing except what I see my Father doing.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that I'm there yet, but man, I'm on the path. I'm finding this path. And so, yeah, bottom line is, man, I fell into the trap of ministry.
Yes.
And it became idolatry, and I lost my intimacy. And there were, I'll never forget, in March of 2015, I was standing on the platform at a major youth conference that we were doing. There were 5,000 kids in that, packed in that auditorium. And I'm standing up on that platform, and the Lord speaks to me prophetically. And it, for those of you that are ministers, you know how this works. You can be talking to people and God talking to you.
Yeah.
And the Lord said to me, the spirit of 1776 has come upon this generation.
Wow.
And just as the forefathers cast off the yoke of the tyranny of Great Britain, this generation will cast off the yokes of the tyranny of religion, and they will come into the glorious liberty of the sons and daughters of Yahweh.
Come on.
And I heard that, man, and it shook me to the core. And the Lord told me while I was standing on that platform, he was like, he started asking me questions. And he said, do you think that your lifestyle and what you're doing is the picture you want to give to your generation of what success looks like in the kingdom?
Wow.
He started asking me questions, and then he started telling me things. He said, if you continue the pace and you continue the path that you're on, you're going to miss the next thing that I'm going to do in the earth. Basically, he was telling me, you're going to miss that revolutionary spirit you're prophesying about. And so he dealt with me about my pace. He dealt with me about what I was doing. And thank God, because of the witness of a man named Damon Thompson,
yes, sir.
Plus what I started hearing the Spirit of God say to me, I started finding that I was born for a different path.
Yes, sir.
And that there was a more excellent way. And that, and I started thinking beyond the religious paradigms that I had been taught. Mm-hmm, and I started mm-hmm. questioning things, going, yes. Is this popular church culture actually manifesting what the Bible says is possible? Why are there no apostles in my life?
Come on.
Why are there no prophets prophesying around me?
Yes.
What I saw were man-driven ministries where people come to be spectators watching mm-hmm, men mm-hmm. and women move in the anointing of God. And that's all it simply was. And I knew there had to be more. There had to be apostolic Christianity still. I knew in my heart it had to exist somewhere.
Yes.
And I didn't care where I found it. I just had to have it. And when I started crying out for things like that, man, the Lord started bringing those type of people into my life. And so, again, I met Damon in the early part of March.
Yes.
The Lord started speaking. Well, I met him. I knew him for years before, but really like heard him and got to be in a room with him and hear his heart. And then like, so end of March, the Lord started dealing with me and started, that's when I started questioning things and all of that. Then I came to my first Carolina Revival service the weekend after that. And man, I got wrecked. I heard a sound. I saw a people. I heard something and saw something that I knew I was born for.
Come on.
And during one of those nights, man, the word of the Lord came to me that it was time for a change. Now, it took me 4 months of wrestling with that prophecy.
Yes.
To come out of the system. But the call was to come out of the system, to come out of the religious tyranny, to come out of the American Christianity, and to answer this call of face-to-face communion. And the only proper way, and my apostle said this, and I agree with this 100%, the only way to honorably transition, as David did coming out of Saul's government, mm-hmm. is you have to do it by way of the wilderness.
Come on.
John the Baptist had to do it. John the Revelator had to do it. The wilderness is the only place you can go to properly honor what you left to come into something new. And so, man, the Lord had something laid out for us, man. We're living in that today. We're yes. 3 years into this journey, almost 3 years into this journey. And man, I'm telling you, the man that I was in March of 2015 is not the man I am today. The Lord has broken religion off of me. The Lord has brought me into the finished work. Yes. I am a son of Almighty Yahweh, free, justified, adopted into the family. And there were many reasons that I could point to of why I left initially, but now, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. And revelation comes and insight comes. I know I'm talking a lot, so man, you just jump in here.
You go for it.
But you're asking for some of my testimony, and I'm just trying to give you the cliff notes here.
You go for it, man.
It's just, you know, I could give you many reasons of frustration of why I transitioned initially. But now when I look back, it had nothing to do with ministry, had nothing to do with other people, had nothing to do with what other people had said or done to me. What it had to do with is the Lord was so jealous for my life and for my wife and my three children
yes.
that He refused to allow me to be comfortable in popular Christianity. He refused. And it was His grace that confronted me. It was His grace that confronted my idolatry. It was His grace through a spiritual father to look me in the face and to expose the mask and the imposter inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was His grace that shut down my travel schedule. It was His grace that caused me to, many people felt like I fell off the planet. And people were so nervous, man. They were like, what are you going to do financially? You know, the Lord told me, OJ, this was, so I transitioned in October of 2015.
Yes.
And in by June of 2016, the Lord said, shut down your travel itinerary. Mm-hmm. The crazy part of that, man, is I was given opportunities to go preach and be a part of things that had been a lifetime dream of mine.
Whoa.
And the Lord was like, cancel all of it. I was going to a church of one of my heroes that I could not wait to get there. The Lord said, cancel it. There was a stadium gathering that I was asked to come and be a part of and release some things. And the Lord said, you will not go there. The Lord said, you will not go there. I took you off the road. I want you off the road. You're mine in the wilderness. I'm going to make your wilderness a paradise garden. And so if you go back to that large gathering, the Lord showed me specifically. It's funny how all this works, but the Lord told me, said, if you go there, all that meeting really is for popular ministries to trade business cards.
That's it.
And you'll go there, you'll start connecting with other leaders, and because of what's on your life, you'll end up firing up your travel schedule and you'll go do your thing again. The Lord said, no, you're not going to do that. So I had to call people that I dearly love and dearly respect and say, I'm not coming. I'm not coming to this gathering. I'm not coming to that gathering. I was going to preach a camp for a large Assemblies of God.
Yeah.
And I couldn't wait to get there. I thought it was going to be phenomenal. And the Lord says, you're not going to go there. You're not going to be a part of that. And I was like, why? And the Lord says, because you're mine. And I mean, He just kept on telling me to cancel. And eventually, by the end of June, I had canceled my whole 2016 calendar.
Come on.
And what ended up happening, though, on the other side of that is the day that I canceled everything, when I just laid it all on the altar, two businessmen called me that very week, the very week that I finalized all of that, and said, Mark, the Lord's spoken to us. We're supposed to give, and we're going to pay your salary every month until the Lord gives you the next step.
Wow.
And however long it takes. And so, man, I've had these two men that have given into me since June of 2016. They've given to me over the years, but they made a commitment that they would honor what the Lord was doing in me, honor this decision to be hidden in the wilderness.
Yes, sir.
And man, the Lord provided for our family the Lord has blessed us so much more than we could have ever done 42 weeks on the road.
Come on.
The Lord has done, He has been faithful to watch over us, and He's prospered us in ways that are far beyond anything that I could comprehend. So, man, I'm super thankful that He proved everything the religious system taught me was wrong, and every fear the religious system put in me that if I left and did something different, that I wouldn't make it.
Yes.
And I'm 3 years into this journey, man, and I'm a son. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath, you know? And I'm starting to really come into a greater sense of who He is, greater sense of who I am. And man, if I'm just being flat dog honest, I'm having a blast. I haven't had an anxiety attack or panic attack in over 3 years. I don't carry the weight or the burden of that, of ministry. And I'm doing things now. It's not like I'm not doing anything, but I'm doing it in the Spirit. I'm doing it from face-to-face communion to the best that I know how. It's still not where I want it to be. But man, if you only talk to my wife and my children and what the Lord's doing in them, what the Lord's doing in me, my wife and my children are the greatest testimony of what the Lord's done in their dad and their husband. And you've been able to witness that. I've been able to witness it with you, even in your life.
And it is true, man.
This is not just good content for a podcast. This is life, and life more abundantly. I'm happy.
Yeah.
The joy of the Lord, it is really my strength. And man, I'm having a blast. And you know, now Matt Petrie and I sit on the front porch every week.
Yes.
We release a podcast to reach more people from this little front porch across the nation, other nations of the world, than I ever did traveling all those weeks. And man, the Lord's doing it, man. He's doing it. And we are having a blast. Telling you.
Man, I've been so still right now. I just love the testimony part of this, because when we testify, we are prophesying over other people.
That's right.
And I know there's people out there that think, well, I don't have a way out of this. There's no way I can live another way and have Jesus with me. But I'm telling you, if you don't do this, if you don't enter into the wilderness, if you don't get out and simply find Jesus your own way, let Him be revealed into your life, you will never find the exact truth of who He is. My testimony is similar in the term that I had to come to a moment where I needed to surrender everything in my life. I was in a hotel room in Las Vegas, October 15 of 2016, and at 3 p.m. while I was being ready to get to a show and a dinner, the power of the Holy Spirit came into the room and threw me into the floor. And for 45 minutes, man, 45 minutes, He was just speaking so loudly that I cannot even hear my own head. It was so strong and so fierce in fire, and He was that call out of the system, that call out of everything that I've known so far. And in that moment, I knew, man, that I never knew God. In that encounter, I knew that I didn't know Jesus, because in that moment, He revealed Himself to me, man.
Yeah, man. Yes.
And that changed me.
Yes.
A couple months after, I started listening to your podcast with Matt. And it was like all the questions that I have at that point, you guys were answering. You were answering in every podcast. It was so weird for me because I usually had a question and I listened to the podcast and the answer was there. And it was that strength that came out of you too that helped me to choose this path, man.
Yes.
And I've known you at that point for 3 years, but it was after that, after I said yes to this lifestyle, that we really started to becoming more brothers and friends.
That's right.
And I remember when you came to preach that January 2017 to, I think it was Lakeland, right?
Lakeland, Florida, that's
Lakeland.
Right.
Lakeland, and I went to be with you, and Brian was there, and Tyler, and the other guys, and I decided to sit behind you, and the Lord was just speaking to me, and he said, I brought Mark into your life because he's going to be a brother to you.
Yes.
It's going to be the strength that you need in this time. Listen to him and honor to him. And I remember that weekend I started talking to you about this lifestyle, and you said something very unique to me. You said, I want you to stop listening to my podcast with Matt. I want you to listen to Apostle Damon Thompson. And I want you to start in January 2016 at the T3. And it took me more than a year, man, because...
It's a lot, man.
I remember the first podcast was like 3 hours long. And I'm like, I was like 4 days to hear just that one podcast. But that day I understood what the Lord was doing with you. Because it's easy as a minister or as somebody that has a ministry to point at yourself. But when you start pointing at other people, because you understand that no matter who speaks, the Lord is going to be speaking through
them. That's right.
That's when you know that what the Lord is doing. And I love everything you spoke about your testimony, especially when you talk about the mirror. Because lately I've been reading the Mirror Bible. And one of the things that man has shown me in everything that he has laid down in what he writes is that we have get out of the law of performance into enter into the law of mirror.
Yes.
Or to be mirrored in Jesus Christ, which is what we have seen in the life of the Apostle Paul and everything that happens in the book of Acts. But I like what he explains about the church. And he brings this revelation of what the word ecclesia means, which comes from the Greek ek, which means origin. And ecclesia is the assembly of people, but it's the people who has gathered together understand their genesis or their origin. And since I've read that, my life has been turned down in just the understanding of what that means.
Yeah.
Because for so many years, we think of a church, of a building, or a group of people that are gathered in the name of Jesus, but we're not gathered here just to have a meeting. We're gathered here sharing life and discovering the origin of our lives.
That's right.
Which is hidden in Jesus Christ. Man, everything that you have said, I've been a witness to it. And for me, it's been a blessing to have somebody that does not only is following a path, but is also demonstrating it. And I see that in your life. I see that in Matt Petrie. I see that in Damon. And it's so amazing to come to this place over here. I mean, for me, I got to drive here 7 hours. But I tell you, man, they are worth it.
Come on.
Because the time that I spend in my car with the Lord and everything that happens every time I come here, which is beyond my own understanding, it just brings me closer to understand what you guys have said yes to.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, last October, I told you, if it was for me, I would be here. If it was for me, I'll be here because I understand what is coming out of this place. And it's that sound and that lifestyle that we are craving inside our hearts because we know it is true. We know this is not a cult. We know this is not somebody trying to do a new thing. We know this is not just another group of the moment. But we see in what the Lord is doing, the root of everything that Jesus preached during his life and even what happened in the book of Acts. And we are seeing it in a group of people who have separated themselves into the wilderness and saying yes to this lifestyle. And although I need to be in Orlando for I don't know how long, my heart is here. And that's why I come here every month. But I've said all this to... just for you to explain us a little bit, how is life here? How is the devotional life develops in this place with a group of people as a family?
Yeah, I'll share some of that and but remind me, because I feel something stirring.
Yes.
Remind me towards the end, because, man, I really feel a call to speak to several things of ministers, like you were talking about, where they say, "How? What's the way out? You know, how could the, you know, how could the Lord do this?"
Well, if you're feeling that, go for it, and then we can revise this
and talk about the lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy to do that. But man, I have been watching since the Lord took me through what Papa Damon calls systemic exodus.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord started working that message in me, you know, systemic exodus is any system that any kind of systemic thinking that hinders us from hearing and obeying at any cost.
Yeah.
So for me, this my systemic exodus was ministry. For others, it may be business. It may, you know, whatever your system is.
Exactly.
The Lord's calling us out of that to put us back in a posture, a face-to-face communion where we can hear and obey at any cost. But man, I have watched young men that are beginning to take over other ministers' ministries. Hmm. Like there's been an impartation, quote-unquote impartation, or a transfer from the older generation to the younger generation.
Yeah.
And man, because they have not experienced a systemic exodus, they've never entered into true authenticity. Mm. And they're being handed ministries that like Saul's armor, trying to put Saul's armor on David. David was created to just wear a shepherd's garment and sling a rock and slay a giant. And now these guys are having to wear Saul's armor and try to face the giants that are in front of them. And, you know, even though there was a day where Saul was anointed, it still was not right for David to wear something that did not belong to him.
Exactly.
And man, I've seen in this past 3 years, it's interesting because it all revolves around Samuel, David, and Saul for me.
Yeah.
I feel like we're in a moment just like that where God is raising up voices and we're coming out of the kingdom of Saul and transferring into the kingdom of David.
Hmm.
And Saul to me represents king political leadership.
Yep.
It's all about what the people want, to Davidic leadership where it's all about a man after God's own heart.
Yes, sir.
And so in order for that to happen, two things got to happen. Number one, the Samuels, the voices, the prophets that are declaring what the Lord's doing, you have to have enough integrity in your life that when you find a Saul who is only partially obeying, remember the story, Saul?
Yeah.
You are to destroy all the Amalekites, but what does he do? He destroys all of them except for what he thought.
Exactly.
Was, you know, what he thought was right. And he did not obey the Lord. And he found out very quickly that partial obedience is disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
And, but here's what a political leader says. Well, Samuel, you're anointed. Everybody looks up to you. So come stand with me and wave to the people and make them think everything's okay.
Whoa.
And I feel like the Lord's showing us something here that, number one, Samuel's got to quit sharing on Saul's platform.
Hmm.
Samuel's got to quit standing with Saul-like leadership in the body of Christ.
Definitely.
And start speaking that this Davidic generation's being raised up. But the second thing that has to happen is David has to refuse to wear Saul's armor and be everything that Yahweh's called him to be. And I see many of these leaders. I look in these young men's eyes. They're probably my age, maybe even a little older.
Yeah.
A little younger, a little older. But I look in these men's eyes, and they're doing what they've been taught. They're not doing from who they are.
Hmm.
They look and they're honoring these men that have come before them, and they're honoring their path, but they're embracing something that was never designed for them. And man, I feel a fresh call coming for people that listen to this podcast to come out of that systemic religious paradigm of ministry mindsets.
Yes.
And to really answer the call of face-to-face communion until the mask of the imposter. It's a polished mask.
Hmm.
They teach you how to look good in front of the people, teach you what to say. They'll even show you how to polish biting revelation. And what happens is the revelation that you once received in the secret place becomes a polished sermon that entertains Christians. and they're never going to do anything with it. And you're going to be frustrated. Trust me, I traveled the nation for 9 years, and I would go to the same churches over and over again every year. And every time I went, man, the Lord would make it so clear that they did not do anything with the last harvest that came last year, the last breakthrough that came last year. And so, man, I started coming to grips with a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I started to have to ask myself honest questions. And that's what I'm saying, man, is there are a group of leaders that are going to listen to this podcast, and I hope you hear what I'm saying. If you are a Samuel, then you got to quit sharing the platform with Saul-like leadership, these political leaders that the people have chosen.
Yes.
And it's time for you to declare the new thing that the Lord is doing. But also, David refused to wear Saul's armor.
That's it,
refused
man.
To be clothed with something that's not authentically you. And if you don't know who you authentically are, then that's where the wilderness comes in. That's where face-to-face communion. And you got to be willing to say, whatever it costs me. I mean, some people are saying, I want revival. I want the real thing. I want that. But they will not leave the systems that have made them comfortable.
Exactly.
But man, me and my wife in 2015 had to make a decision. We knew what we were walking away from. What we were doing was for us for the rest of our life. The plan was already laid out. Succession was already laid out. We were going to be there the rest of our life. It was easy. We're living in a very nice home. We had a very nice situation.
Yeah.
Money was not an issue. And the Lord's like, I want you to walk away from all of that. And if you don't change your pace and you don't change your path, you're going to miss what we're doing. And man, we just said, we're going all the way in, whatever that looks like. And we didn't even know what all the way in. We're still learning what all the way in is.
Exactly.
The Lord continues to draw lines in the sand and say, okay, cross this line. You're never going back to this. You're never going back to that. My parents didn't understand it. My friends didn't understand it. The place we left didn't understand it.
Yep.
But we just had to say yes, even when we didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to say yes, man. We had to say yes, and we had to go all the way in, whatever the cost. You know, yes. We sing those songs, you can take it all, you can take it all, just give me Jesus. We don't mean that. Because when
know.
He starts taking it all, and he, you know, then we start going, oh, wait a second. Wait, no, you sang the song, you prayed the prayer, you asked for this. So the Lord is really putting us in position, man, where he's calling leaders out of the systems of religion. And saying, will you come into the wilderness with me? And whatever that looks like, can you walk away? I mean, brother, it happened with the Desert Fathers.
Yep.
Christianity began to be popular, mm-hmm. but it lost its potency and it lost its power. And it lost the authenticity of the early church. And the Desert Fathers left the Roman Empire. They left popular Christianity and went into the desert and said, we're going to the desert till we see this thing restored properly. They chose the wilderness way. And the Lord is doing that in our day.
Yes.
I believe we're living in a day, OJ, where we're going to see the greatest reformation, greater than what even Martin Luther saw in his day. But it's going to take reformers mm-hmm. that are willing to do more than just preach revelatory messages. They're going to have to make revelatory decisions.
That's it.
And the Spirit of God is leading men and women out of the systemic popular church model that bears no fruit of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Crowds are not fruit.
No.
Popularity is not fruit. Influence is not fruit. Fruit is, do I hear and obey at any cost?
Yes, sir.
Will you, the same people that you get up to and preach, when you preach to thousands, will you look at them as Jesus did and say, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you'll have no part of me? You know, we want to preach the home run messages in front of those great clouds. And I don't know why I'm talking about this, but somebody is going to listen to this podcast that needs to hear this.
Yes.
And you're being confronted right now with the decision to come out of this systemic religious system and answer the call of devotion to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And can I tell you that when you make that decision, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory.
Amen.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. I came into the Abba revelation, OJ. I came into, he is Abba. This is my apostle. This is one of the first things that he started speaking when I moved here. He is Abba. I am beloved.
Beloved, yes.
He is Abba. He's a good father.
Yeah.
He's immutably good.
Mm-hmm.
He's never going to change. And he's always good. Psalm says, the Lord is good and does good. He's in a good mood, Bill Johnson says. Oral Roberts used to say, God is going to do something good for you today.
Yes,
it's
sir.
It's this revelation that He is Abba, He is good, He's never going to let me down. You know, my only responsibility is come face to face with Him, choose the feet of Jesus over the work of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mary Martha revelation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Martha, she's busy with much serving. She comes to Jesus. Hey, what are you going to do with Mark that's sitting here at the feet of Jesus? He should be out preaching the gospel.
Hmm.
He should be out there rescuing sinners out of the pits of hell. You know, what is he doing just sitting there at the feet of Jesus? And Jesus looks at all the Marthas in Mark Castler's life and says, he has chosen the better part that will not be taken from him. And he spoke to Martha and he said, you are busy. The actual Greek translation, when you study that out, he says, Martha, you are busy with your own desires. You're busy with your own agenda.
That's it.
And Mary has... So what I've found is I am doing less than I've ever done in the physical,
mm-hmm.
but I'm saying yes to the world that really matters the most, and I'm seeing greater fruit because I am able to sit at the feet of Jesus and do what He tells me to do, not what culture says I'm supposed to do. And the Lord rips the mask of the imposter off, puts the mirror up, makes you look at yourself.
Yes.
And realize, oh, God, this is awful. Rips the imposter's mask. And when the imposter's mask comes off, then he puts a wedding veil on. And each and every day as you come into more bridal identification and get baptized more in the love of God, He begins to peel back that veil and you begin to see more of who He is.
Yes.
And begin to experience the kisses of His mouth, as the Song of Solomon said. And when that happens, man, you become fully alive. And so, man, I want to invite some people that are listening today that are busy in the ministerial world. They're running the rat race. They're on the treadmill of performance, and they're starting to taste even some ministry success.
Yeah.
You're born for more than that.
Absolutely, bro.
So that's just a call that I wanted to lay out there. But to answer your question about the lifestyle, man, that is the lifestyle to me. Is mm-hmm. The lifestyle is daily waking up with the realization that He is Abba, He is good, I am beloved, He loves me, He's crazy about me. I'm not only beloved, I'm son.
Yes.
And He's a good father. But also, I'm a bride, and Jesus is an amazing bridegroom.
The best.
And so for me, it's every day waking up to the realization of those things, and also that the Holy Spirit is my divine communicator. I get to enjoy the fellowship of the Father and the fellowship of the Son by way of the Holy Spirit. And He is my advocate. The Holy Spirit is my daily advocate. He brings me before the Father. He tells me what to say. He shows me how to receive the love of the Father. So, man, I'm blown away because, man, I'm in position to really go for this lifestyle. And so it looks like that, just daily communion with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Waking up each morning, spending that time with Him. And I'm not talking about picking a good devotional book and reading through it. I'm talking about mm-hmm. just sitting at His feet, being quiet, quieting my soul, and cracking the Bible open and just reading, not to see how many chapters I can get through, but reading till He speaks. And when He speaks, I just stay there with it, and I stay with what He's speaking.
Come on.
And so I enjoy that. That's part of the lifestyle, just communing with the Father. A lot of people think that the Garden of Eden can't be found. I found it right here in Highway 1, Batesburg, South Carolina.
That's it.
In the middle of peach farms. There's access to Eden again.
Yeah.
And it's just fellowship, man. By way of the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost, we pass through that flaming sword back into the garden, man, where we walk and commune with the Lord. And so, but also, man, what I love more than anything is the family.
Yeah.
Man, I've got so many amazing brothers and sisters in the kingdom. I live just a house away from my very best friend, Matt Petrie, and Petrina Petrie and their daughter, Mia. We're next door neighbors.
Yeah.
When I first moved here, Apostle said, I want two things. Damon said, two things I want. I want you to be close to the chapel, and I want you to be close to the Petries. The very next week, the house right across, right beside of the Petries opened up. We were like 5 minutes from the chapel, and we're right next door to the Petries.
Come on.
The Lord opened it up just like that, man. So, I love the family, man. Yeah. I am surrounded. I've been here. The greatest testimony I can give to you about this family that's here in South Carolina is I've lived here for almost 3 years, and I've never been a part of church drama. Can you imagine that? People are listening to this, and they're going, you are making this up. No, before God I stand.
Yep.
I've been here for 3 years, and I've not been a part of 1 ounce of church drama. Are these people perfect? No. Am I perfect? No. Mm-hmm. Is it? You know, nothing about this is perfect. But we're so gripped by one holy passion.
That's
that,
it.
That striving for platforms and striving for positions and titles, all of Jezebel's tendencies can't live in this atmosphere here.
Come on.
The government is safe here. The spiritual government and the family. Having an apostle, it's amazing, man. The leaders that are here are so they're humble, man.
And yeah.
It's amazing. So the family, no church drama, just loving Jesus, loving each other. People are getting filled with the Holy Ghost at home. People are getting healed. We're getting breakthroughs. We're seeing God do amazing things. And we're not having, like, we're not doing nightly services.
Mm-hmm.
We have once a month. Sometimes we'll call for extra services.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, we're in perpetual revival, and it's not because of what's happening in services. It's what's being fueled from this lifestyle of devotion.
Exactly.
So when you come here, there's not much to look at, man.
No.
And there's nothing, like, when you look around, you're like, okay, what's, you know, our church can barely fit a couple hundred people in the sanctuary.
That's true, man.
People are in the overflow. People are sitting in classrooms at times. But people are moving here because of the lifestyle. It's not even the services. It's not the sound of the music or even the preaching. And all of those are great and amazing.
Yeah, they are.
But it's the lifestyle. And because we're saying yes to Him, we're inheriting family. And because we're inheriting family, man, we're experiencing glorious things. And I'm closer to the Book of Acts expression of the church than I've ever been in my entire life. So thankful for it, man. I'm honored. I'm thankful. I told the Lord one time, I said, I'm so thankful that you, by your grace, gave me enough humility to realize that what I was doing was wrong, and you rescued me, and you allowed me to inherit not only this devotional path, but also an amazing family. And brother, I am so, so, so thankful and grateful in my heart for this path. It's amazing.
Yeah, man. I'm still steered by the call that you did to the people who are still in systems and stuff like that. Because my testimony was, I was busy in work.
Yep.
I used to have 3 jobs.
Yep, I remember, man.
You remember. Sometimes you came to Florida and just hung out with me in Disney. And, I mean, I was exhausted.
Yeah, sure.
And sincerely, the first times that you came, I saw that in you as well. You were exhausted. You were tired.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, it's just a treadmill of performance.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because it doesn't matter if you're in a ministry or you are at work or whatever you do, there's always a treadmill in this world.
That's right.
That wants to keep you busy.
It's Babylon.
Babylon. That wants to keep you far away from knowing that you can be still and find Jesus right there. And for me, I mean, I was in church since I was 4, and I grew up in all this, and people started pointing things at me, and you got to do this because I see this gift in you.
Yep.
And I see that, and I want you to do this. And, you know, they start molding your life because of what they see or what they think they see in you. And you come to this place where you're trying to please them, not God. So you start doing things for God, in parentheses, but you're not doing anything for God.
You know, OJ, people don't realize how much Babylon has influenced American ministry. But I think it's safe to say that the Lord, like He's in the book of Revelation, it says that He calls for them to come out of her.
Yeah.
Calls His people out of Babylon. And man, I'm telling you, the first wave of that is going to be ministers leaving the quote unquote ministries they've been given.
Yeah.
And it's really not ministries the Lord gave them. It's what popular church culture created for them. And to prove Babylon's influence, when Daniel and the three Hebrew boys came into Babylonian captivity, they found out these four men were absolutely amazing. They were full of the wisdom of God.
Yes.
They were special. There was something special about them. And the first thing Babylon did when they realized their gifts, talents, and abilities is they changed their name. Their names, Daniel, you can look these up in your spare time. Look at the three names of the Hebrew boys and Daniel's name. Yeah. And look up the names that Nebuchadnezzar gave to those four men. And it went from names Yahweh had given them to their names meant things that they did for Babylon.
Mm-hmm,
so it wasn't about who they were in Yahweh's eyes. It was about what they could do for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the paradigm that many people are operating in today, is they're known. That's why titles are such a big thing in the system.
Yes.
Positions and giftings, talents, and abilities. It's because Babylon is so influenced. It's not about hearing and obeying. It's about what you can do for the kingdom. And it's the wrong kingdom.
Exactly.
If your identity is wrapped up in what you do, I would say Babylon put that on you and not Yahweh.
Yeah.
Because Yahweh is never trapped, and everything that we do comes from that hearing and obeying, face-to-face communion with Yahweh. I remember being a young man. I was probably 21 years old. I was sitting down with a very famous preacher in P.F. Chang's. I'd picked him up from the airport, and he was going to be ministering for us in Tennessee. And we were only about an hour and a half away from the service, but he was hungry, and P.F. Chang's was on the way. And so I remember sitting down. This is a man that many television networks used for him to come in and take up offerings.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there with that man, and he said, man, the only reason why these people invite me in is because I have a gift to take up offerings and receive and revelation on finances and money. He was like, that's all they want me for. They don't want to hear what's really in me.
Wow.
And here's a man that I looked at as like, you know, I was so naive back then. I was like 20-some years old. And I'm like, I'm listening to this man talk, and he's trapped. And no one wants to hear the real thing that's in him, the authentic thing that's in him. Saul placed his armor on him, and he's out there trying to swing a sword because, you know, at the end of the day, Apostle Damon gave us this revelation. Saul is dressed in the same stuff as Goliath is.
Hmm.
Check out Goliath's armor and check out Saul's armor. They both look the same.
Yeah.
The religious system can only dress you up to look just like your enemy. The people that you're called to change are the people that you end up looking like in the religious system.
Wow.
And so it's just like, man, the Lord is trying to break us out. He's calling us out of that Babylon way of thinking.
Yes, sir.
It's not about my gifts, talents, and abilities. It's about me choosing the face and the feet of Jesus, and whatever he says out of that posture is what I do. And the hardest thing people will have to do when they come, number one, they'll have to walk away from everything that they know. And secondly, the religious system that they're in has never given them permission to ever think for themselves. So they have to be willing not only to leave what they've been taught, but they have to be able to rethink, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change the way that you think. Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you do what you do?
Exactly.
It's time for us to start asking those questions. If we're going to see this reformation, we're going to have to be willing to question what the status quo. And maybe what is popular is not kingdom,
not
the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if all the stuff you've been taught is kingdom is wearing you out and exhausting you like it did with me, then you have reason to question whether it's Yahweh's kingdom or Babylon's. So you have to be willing not only to walk away from it, but you got to be willing to repent and change the way that you think. And number three, man, you're going to have to get immersed in a culture that gives you permission for the narrow way.
Apostolic government.
Yeah, man, you're going to have to come into some government that they... I'm so thankful, man, for my apostle.
Yeah.
Because he's not my apostle just because he gives me advice and just because I have a place that I can submit things, but he's an actual father. He's the first spiritual authority in my life that actually has cared enough to ask me about my marriage and my children and life. And not talk to me about ministerial success or sermons or what's the latest, greatest thing you've heard or what's your revelation nuggets that you've got to pass out. No, he said, how are you doing with face-to-face communion? How are you doing with your wife and with your children? You know, and so I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the permission that comes from that relationship where what God has done through that man is been able to bring a plumb line into my life. And people see government many times as restriction, and that is an absolute wrong revelation of apostolic government. It's actually permission to go for it in a way that you could never get in the system. So, man, I'm becoming authentically more of who Yahweh's called me to be, and because of that permission, I'm experiencing a joy that is just something I never dreamed it could be like this, and it just keeps getting better. And when I think just the moment that it looks like I've reached like a place where it couldn't get any better,
it gets better.
It just gets better. It's glory to glory. And any of you not living in that, it's not the church's fault. It's not anyone else's fault. It's your own decision to make the change. And man, I believe there's grace and permission coming out of expressions like Carolina Revival, and I'm sure there are others.
Yes.
There's permission coming forth for them to be able to exit the system and come into this new thing that the Lord's doing. There's grace for it.
Yeah, man. I think you hit the point where I wanted to come with my testimony, because through my years, I learned to do things for the church and for God, but it wasn't really for him. It was just under impressing people around us. It was about getting the best of ourselves to them. And it came to a point where I started having visions or revelations, and I didn't know what to do with that. And people push it towards eschatology and towards things that supposed to be what I was dreaming about. Yet those things took me further away. Because everything that the Lord showed me in the moment that he showed me those things, I never knew anything about eschatology. I never knew anything about anything in the heavens, man. And I never was afraid of that event that I saw. I saw the rapture 3 times. And I'm not saying, what I want to say with this is that those people pushed me away from the wonder of what I lived during those visions. And something that the Lord told me recently was, I want you to lay down all your eschatology that you heard from people. And I want you to get gripped in the wonder that you felt when you saw those things. Because I show them to you for a reason. And I'm so thankful that we have an apostle that is taking us out of that wrong eschatology and all that. I'm not even going to go into that. But what I want to say about this is that God is willing to give us wonder.
Yeah.
And that is the first thing that I heard from Apostle Damon Thompson when I put that T3 on January 2016. He was talking about wonder. And that stirred something in my life that I cannot even explain, because I had many leaders and many pastors and people that molded my life through the years, but everybody teach me how to do church, everybody teach me how to do ministry, but none of them told me to sit still and just wonder before God.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that is the importance of what is happening here.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that Apostle Damon Thompson is the man of the hour. It's just that he has become a father to all of us.
Yep.
He has become a man that is simply giving us permission to go deeper into knowing Jesus. Not knowing what is around us, not knowing about business, not knowing about the church, how it functions, but just to get deeper into who Jesus is.
That's right, man.
And into the wonder that is unveiled before us.
Yep, that's right.
And I think your calling today for all these people, I mean, it's been in my heart for a while, but I've never been with anybody to just bring this out, because I think it's one of the most important things. Because on that day when I was in that hotel room in Las Vegas and the Lord threw me to the floor, he called me straight out of all that. He said, I want you to leave everything that you have done until this point and lay it down on the floor.
Come on, man.
And I remember in November of that year, I started a year of consecration with the Lord, where I spent a whole year just with the Lord. I didn't do anything about ministry, anything about churches, anything at all. I just was with the Lord. And man, that was the best year of my life. That started with an encounter where Jesus came into my life and walked with me for 14 straight days. And his presence never left me, man. Wow. Every time I wake up, every time I lay down, I couldn't feel my face. My face was numb because of the presence of God in my life. And I said, this is it. If I have you, I don't care about anything else, man. If I have you, man, that changed my life because that was the first day that I have Jesus with me. And everything that I've learned until that point, it just fell into the lowest grounds of hell. Every part of the religion, every part of performance, everything that I didn't even knew it was in me, it just fails by one encounter. It's like what the Apostle Paul encountered in the way to Damascus. One encounter changed his life radically. He was never the same after that. He couldn't be the same because he even get out of that place blind because he needed to be in a place where he needed to be still. He needed to learn that everything that he had saw until that point was not relevant.
Right.
But the brightness of the light of God in front of him.
That's right.
Man, and I say all these things because I'm really stirred. I don't come here because I feel to come here. I come here by obedience. The Lord told me, you need to be coming here. He said, I don't want you to live there because I got things to do with you in Orlando, but I need you to come constantly into this place. And I'm being obedient. And that encounter, when I was with him for 14 days, what brought into my life was obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Obedience that is beyond even my own intention of being obedient. Because even when my flesh don't want to be obedient, I know that if I hear the slightest whisper in my heart, that I just need to follow it. Even when I don't understand and even when I cannot grasp my mind into it, but I know that he is faithful. And when you were talking about faithfulness, I remember something that the Lord spoke to me. He said, you just got to trust that I am good.
Yeah.
And I will never disappoint you.
That's right, man.
And you know, I think that's what people needs to know. That yeah, God man. Is good.
He is good.
And he will never that's disappoint right. us.
No, he won't. He's been faithful to us, man. And I really appreciate you coming. It's amazing to see the transformation I've seen in your life since the first time I met you.
Yep.
And watch the Lord just turn you into a completely different man is absolutely amazing. I'm just super just super honored that you have me on today, but more importantly, just man, you have been such a blessing to my family, to my wife and my children, whether it's the gifts you've brought or the time you spent with us when we're down in your area. But you've just been a faithful brother, man, and I really appreciate you for that. And I honor your sacrifice to come here every month. And man, we gladly open our doors to you and to hang out with us. So, man, really appreciate you having me on the podcast today.
Man, the honor is all mine. And I just would like us to finish with something simple, and that is I want to repeat the example that I've seen for my brothers. And something that Mark did in that moment when I was starting was something simple. He pointed at another man, and that's something that I want to do today. If you're hearing this podcast, I want you to simply stop listening to this podcast and get connected with The Front Porch, with Damon Thompson Ministries, and with Hope Chapel. If you want to honor what the Lord is doing through this podcast, and if you want to just get deeper into the revelation of the devotional life and how to follow Jesus in ways that maybe you haven't encountered yet, just do these things, because for me, this has been the game changer to find a true family that is actually the mirror of Jesus on earth, who has become the seed of the kingdom on this place, and just to be among them and live life with them. So I know that if you hear them as well, you're going to be touched by the Holy Spirit of God, and a lot of questions that you may have or that you don't know how to access in life will be unlocked through this. And I'm just thankful for everybody for tuning in and listening. And I'm thankful for Mark and his family and everybody over here. And I'm just going to see you guys the next time. God bless you all. Thank you for listening to another episode of Brethren in Devotion. If you would like to support this podcast, please go to facebook.com/brethreninDevotion.